Well, dear brethren, I was given a very specific assignment, not just promises, but really the promise of protection. And so my assignment was God's protection of natural Israel and how their promises continue to assist us. You know, in looking at this, we're going to look at it kind of in a formatted way. We're going to look at promises, first of all, that link natural and spiritual Israel together. Secondly, we're going to look at what protective strategies are. Third, we'll look at protective promises given in Scripture. And finally, what are the benefits of it? What are the implications to you and to me? You know, we can go back to Genesis to get one of the original promises, Genesis chapter 22, verse 18. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. That's what Brother David was just talking about, right? And as a result of that, we had promises. We had promises given to us, given to Isaac in Genesis 26:4. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So by extension, given to Father Abraham, now reaffirmed to Isaac, but with a very special promise to the stars of heaven class. And then continuing, these promises were also given in Genesis 28:14 to Jacob. In thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and in thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So you see, we have promises to the heavenly seed, stars of heaven, and to the earthly seed, the dust of the earth, given to us. So it started with Father Abraham, and then we had this assignment. Why did we have a separate promise given to Isaac and then to Jacob? Well, we think what we see here is a picture of God's promises to two distinct classes, the Isaac class, spiritual Israel, and the Jacob class, natural Israel, and by extension, all the world of mankind, because that's who's going to be blessed by it. The Apostle Paul kind of helps us out in the New Testament, because in Galatians chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, he ties it all together for us. And, you know, this is one of the wonderful things about the Apostle Paul. You know, in Hebrews, he gave us all the linkages for the tabernacle, didn't he, really, for those types and shadows and sacrifices of the Old Testament? Well, here in Galatians, he gives us a key. So you really should have a little key in your margin in the Bible. This is a key to the covenants and the arrangements for bringing mankind, all mankind, back into that blessed state. Galatians 3, 14 through 16. That the blessing of Abraham, remember that's who it was given to originally, might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. A different arrangement. So now he's talking about that blessing coming to not natural Israel, but a Gentile class, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And now he's tied it down. He's talking about the we class. Who is this addressed to? Well, it's addressed to the church. Those who have covenanted by sacrifice to lay down their lives, to lay down their wills. He says, I've given you a very important promise. It's not an earthly promise, as it says in the end, the promise of the Spirit through faith. Continuing, so we've got it promised to the Gentiles through Christ, and that's the mechanism. That's the essential mechanism. This is really what the Jews were waiting and anticipating, but failed to see, isn't it? And so after a period of time, it was extended to the Gentiles, and so it has been largely a Gentile call. And it is a spiritual promise. The Apostle Paul continues, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. So he's identifying, I made it to Abraham, that was the first scripture we read in Genesis, and to his seed, Isaac, and to Jacob. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now he's focusing in. He's not focusing back on the promises to natural Israel, but to spiritual Israel. And this is part of Abraham's seed. So you see here, we have a direct linkage. And the Apostle Paul here in Galatians pulls it all together and links it all together and says, this is what it meant. That's why there was a separate promise to the stars of heaven and to the dust of the earth or the sands of the seashore. So we see that God has directly promised. This is not because it's happened to Israel, it should follow through to us. This is a direct promise, a direct linkage of promises to spiritual Israel. So, if you went out and you wanted to hire protection, there's a number of things that have to be satisfied. First of all, we have to take care of your physiological needs, your need for food and water and shelter and all of those things, basic to protection. Number two, psychological. You know, if you hire a protection firm, you have to feel confident that they're taking care of you. You have to have a firm feeling that you're being taken care of and you are protected, that they will intervene for you. And third, you need the actual security itself. And all three of these elements have to be met. These are the basic things that security and protection has to do. So if I ask you for a protection strategy, let's say we hired a bodyguard, here's the things they would do. First of all, you would establish a relationship with them. And it's a trusted relationship. So you would meet the bodyguard. If you take the President of the United States, he knows personally the Secret Service men that are his inner circle and that protect him. And he has a personal relationship with them. He knows them by name. He knows something about them. Secondly, you have to have commitment, right? Otherwise, you couldn't have confidence. The psychological needs would not be met if I had no confidence that I had hired someone that couldn't protect me. Wouldn't work, would it? Third, you have to have prevention. And there's a tremendous amount of prevention. If we look at the President of the United States, he has an entourage. They do detailed analysis of all of the risks, the routes, and all the different things, the logistics, to give him an optimal chance for protection. And that's a very much a preventative thing. That's up front. Before there is any threat, they're assessing threats and doing countermeasures as well. Then there's surveillance. And that is monitoring the situation to determine when something's not safe. And once again, in regards to the president, if they determine there's an area that it's not safe for him to move in, they will redirect him. You know, I'm reminded we went to Israel a number of years ago. And we were out fairly near the Gaza Strip. We were looking where David slew Goliath, the valley there. And our tour guide was on the phone almost the whole time. And very quickly he said, well, the weather's not good, and we're going to go ahead and move back to Jerusalem. And so we did in very quick motion. I'm a database administrator as well as a security person at the hospital. And so I was at a global database conference, and I saw some men sitting around the table with yarmulkes. And so I said, I want to sit at that table. I want to talk to them about Israel and, you know, what's happening there, get their insights. So I started saying, you know, you're God's promised blesser nation. They lit up. And then they started to confide in me. And one of the things that they said, these people do security for Israel. That's what they do. That's preventative. And he said, one of the things you might not realize is that every single tourist bus, commercial tourist bus in Israel is tracked real time. And when there are viable threats, they move them. Now I realize why we suddenly went from near the Gaza Strip back to Jerusalem. Just like that. That was prevention. That was surveillance. That's what's necessary. Ultimately, you need protection. And then if protection doesn't work or if there's a real threat, then you need an intervention, something to prevent it from happening. And finally, you get peace of mind. So if you have all of these elements, then you are protected. Let's take a look and see what promises we have. So we've looked at all the aspects of protection. Let's see what kind of promises we have. And there are so many. As the chairman said, we could spend an hour, but we're not going to. We're going to spend 4 more minutes. And we're going to look at promises to natural Israel. I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. I will establish this relationship, and this is personal. But he makes the same promise to spiritual Israel in Corinthians. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wow, that's personal. And what we notice is the relationship with the spiritual is greater than with natural Israel. Next promise, commitment we needed. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. I will be with you. The bodyguard saying, I'll be with you every step of the way. In Matthew 27:43, he who trusts in God, let God deliver him now. God's going to deliver us. Commitment. He said it. He will do it. And once again, the commitment to the spiritual is much greater than to natural. Commitment. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. That's prevention. He's going to put a hedge there around you, provided you don't choose to cross it. In the New Testament, the Lord will rescue me from every evil. That, again, is commitment. Surveillance, protecting us, knowing what's the situation is around us. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. In Hebrews, it says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It's saying, I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to put my arm around you. That analogy of being under his wing. Protection. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him or reverence him, and he delivereth them. That was a promise to natural Israel. Spiritual Israel in Hebrews is given the promise. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Not a hair on your head can be touched except the Lord permit it. That's incredible protection, isn't it? That's an incredible promise of protection. And once again, it's even greater for spiritual than natural Israel. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth them that trust him. Intervention. He will take care of them in a time of trouble. He's got a commitment there, doesn't he? He trusts in God. Let him deliver him now. And so we have deliverance and provided as well. And once again, those promises are directly to natural Israel, directly to spiritual Israel. They correspond. Peace of mind. Ultimately, that's what we need. You know, if you're going to dedicate your life to the Lord, if you're going to give your will over to him, you've got to be at peace with that. The Lord will bless his people with peace. That's what it says in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world giveth, I give unto you. And once again, we see provisions directly promised for natural Israel and for spiritual Israel. And so we see God provides comprehensive protection, better than any man could do. Comprehensive protection. He hit every aspect of a protective plan. Let's do a comparison of Jesus in Hebrews. You know, in Hebrews, Jesus is compared with angels. He's compared with the law. He's compared with the high priest and with sacrifices. And the conclusion is Jesus is better. Jesus is greater. And therefore, his corresponding promises are greater as well. In Hebrews 11:40, it says, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Some better thing, some better promises and protection as well. If he did it for natural Israel, he has promised he will do it for spiritual Israel as well. And we see that all of these things have been satisfied. God's protection to spiritual Israel is superior.